What's up, everybody? Hi, welcome. I'm George Massey. Welcome to the George Massey Show. We just watched episode two of The Other Way. So Cara and I are going to react to this episode instantaneously. I'm excited. I have a lot of notes. I have a lot of things I want to say. I need to get Cara in here. Oh, Cara's here. Cara's here. What's up, Sophie? Us here. What is up, everybody? So yeah, we just watched episode two The Other Way. We got some more Minon tonight, and we met Greta. We got some Jenny and Sumit. Cafe talk. Hi, hello there.
Hi, how are
I have
you?
a lot of opinions, Kara. I have a lot of
Me
opinions from tonight, so I don't know how if we're gonna have enough time to go through all this. So I have a lot of questions. So where do you want to start? Because
Any,
I
anywhere you want to start, but I'm just gonna say these married people, it just blows my mind they're on the show. I've said it before, I'll say it again. Why are we on the show with them?
Well, let's start with a married person, right? Let's start there. Let's start with Minon and her trophy baby daddy who doesn't work. So I know we're not going to see eye to eye with this, but he made a comment tonight that, he was kind of shaming her for not being a good parent. And I feel like that's kind of a below the belt because, when you're in a one income household, one person is trading off time for income. And I don't think it's fair to make another person feel bad because they're out making money to feed the family and house the family and be like, well, you could be a better mother if you were there. That's not fair because when you're making that trade-off, one person is gonna sacrifice time. And this is how it's been since the beginning of time. Usually men did it in the beginning, but we're in a different time. Like you can now decide who's going to, hey Jamie, you can decide who is going to trade off that. And I think at the end of the day, you don't get to shame the other person for not being there. Like Cara, for instance, your husband got injured and you've taken up the slack to take care of the family. So it wouldn't be fair for you to go and tell your husband like, well, you could be a little more present in our family because this is the cards you were dealt. And as a team, right? Y'all are a team. You would never make someone on your team feel bad for what they can't do. So her not being there, as a woman, I'm pretty sure it tears her up from the inside already. So the
And she
idea
said that last episode. Like she said, I feel horrible because I'm not getting the bond with my child.
So for him to say that, he's like on the lowest on my totem pole, right? Like
Me
I'm just
too.
looking, I'm looking for ways to drag him up and down the boulevard. And I already said there's no reason why they have to move across the world when he could just get a damn job. There's no reason why you should have to sell your house and uproot your life and leave everybody behind when you could just get a job and work opposite shifts. Be a man. Get your balls. Be a man. Put on your pants and go to work. It's not easy. Nobody said when you knocked up your wife, it was going to be easy. You don't get to just say, oh, this is hard. And then he also said another thing that pissed me off. He was like, she thinks about money and finances, and I don't really care about money and finances. As long as we have somewhere to live and something to eat, it doesn't really matter. And I was like, that type of thinking is why there's homeless people on corners with signs,
But
right?
also, you wouldn't have a roof over your head and food to eat if she wasn't out there busting her ass.
Well, the
So.
idea that she works like 80 hours a week, right? And it's funny because I actually know her personally, so I know the type of work that she did. She had a publicist agency, promotional agency. She was doing a lot of different things. She was all over the place. And I know for a fact she was working 80 to 100 hours a week because we've actually had personal conversations. And I was like, I don't even know how you sleep. I don't know when you sleep. I don't know. Because she said that she would come home and she would want to pick up her baby, and the baby acted like it didn't know who she was. So the idea that he thinks that he can shame her when he could easily take his ass to work and give her time to be with the baby, it kind of got under my skin,
I agree.
and it would go both ways. If he was out working and she was like, you could be home more with the kid, I would still be mad because when you're married and you're a team and you're making sacrifices for your family, you're not supposed to shame and hurt each other. You don't use that against each other. And I'm telling you, Carl, my theory, I know I said this before and a lot of people didn't like it. I think he found a girl that he thought didn't have a high self-esteem that he was going to get a free ride out of. And I
I
think
agree.
Because did you notice he was like, oh, she was like, oh, we met, and then within 6 months we were engaged, and then within a year we bought a house, and then 6 months later we had a baby. I think he found a girl and he fast tracked and he love bombed her, and he thought that he wasn't gonna have to work. And I think he also underestimated how hard it is to raise a baby by yourself. He underestimated that. And, you know, he should have asked a single mother before he went and knocked her up and thought, oh, well, it'll be easy. I just get to stay home. All I have to do is raise a baby. It's a lot easier to get a job.
Absolutely.
Like, if raising a baby is like working four jobs, because the baby gets to wake up at 3 a.m, at least one of your jobs might close, right? The business might actually be closed, so you might actually get to sleep the whole night. You don't get to do that shit. So I think he underestimated that. And yes, I didn't want to use the word Gina deadbeat. I don't like to throw that word around, but I think maybe, quite possibly, that's kind of what he is. When he made that statement, he was like, I feel like I've been solo parenting. And she's like, well, I've been solo earning for your ass. And I was like, see, that's exactly how you respond to somebody like that. Because, yeah, you are solo parenting because you decided to send your wife out to work 3, 4, 5 jobs so you get to stay home and raise a baby. And then you have the audacity to complain, you know, it's kind of hard raising this baby. No shit, right? But that was your decision. You came up with the idea. Remember, he's the one that brought up, I should quit my job and stay home. So you don't get to complain about your own idea.
I also think that he's talking to other women with his 70s porn stash. I think he's already got shit lined up in the UK, to be honest.
Really? See, I don't know. So when she was kissing him and everything. See, I don't know. I can't put my finger on the vibe I get, right? Because I was like, is he really attracted to her? Does he really love her?
It's like neighbors. It's like neighbors meeting for the first time. It was so off. All of it's so off. There's no chemistry between the two of them. How they made a baby, I will never know because it is so weird.
I don't know. Like, I was watching the way they interact and everything, and I'm not sold. Like, and I know I've been watching a lot of these weird love bomb documentaries, and I know that men are getting really crafty on conning women. Remember there was the Tinder swindler? It used to be always the men conning. I think they're getting smarter, and you know, an older woman who has her shit together, who has a good mindset, a good head on her shoulders, a good education, and a good job, men are targeting women like Manon. She goes out, she has her own shit, her own house, her own car, her own career. She don't depend on nobody. And men are targeting those type of women because they want to be a kept man. And I keep getting kept man vibes from him because I was like, y'all are moving out of your house. You're going to go live in your auntie's house. Like, he doesn't have any shame. Like, I don't know. I would feel a little shame if I had to go live with my family or go live with somebody's family when I could just go get a job. Right.
And his comments, like, okay, the roof over my head, food in my belly, that's all I need. And he says she's so money focused. She should be. She is trying so hard to build stability for her family. So, okay, all that matters is you have a roof and food. But if that stops, if, like you said, if she got injured, if she fell down, if she got sick, then what? That roof and that food is gone. You better have a plan B, and you better have it fast. You also better have a plan C, D, and E. And he's not motivated even a little bit. This guy,
he doesn't. Yes. He's just, and that's what scares me about him, is he could care less where their next meal comes from or where they're going to sleep. It seems like that's just Manon's problem to figure out. Like, that's his mindset. And that's what's scary to me, because at the end of the day, she's only human. And like you said, something happens to her and she can't take care of them.
It's so easy. I mean, there's so many things that could happen. From something as minor as a cold and can't go to work to something major that requires surgery or needing to be laid up for 1, 2, 6, 8, 12 months. I mean, it happens. It absolutely happens. And it's always unexpected. And if you're not prepared and you don't have money in the bank to cover your ass when that happens, you're screwed. I don't care what country you're in. You need to have that backup. And that is what she's been trying to do all along, trying to create this security.
He doesn't understand it because I don't think he probably went from his parents' house to her house. Like, yeah. I don't think he's ever had the responsibility of being a man and taking care of himself and knowing what it's like to not know if you don't pay your rent, who will? Because, you know, I used to say that all the time. I was like, damn, I wish I was a big titty, beautiful woman, because they don't have to worry about who's going to pay. Because you, if you got big titties and you're beautiful, somebody's going to pay it, right?
Yeah,
if your car notes do, somebody going to pay it for you. If you got the perkiest ones, you don't really have to worry. And I was like, he has that same big titty mindset where he was just like, well, somebody's going to take care of me.
All he is a big tit.
I mean, Manon made a comment tonight. She said his big ding dong. And I was like, that's what's going on here. Because I was like, I was trying to figure it out. I was like, why are you sacrificing it all for this man? Why did you let this man degrade you into just being an income to him? And I think she's dickmatized, right?
Even dickmatized, I love that. Even just their conversation in the car, at the table, in the living room, their conversation is so bland and there's no feeling behind it. There's no teamwork whatsoever, even just in the home, let alone outside the home. But there's also no chemistry, no passion. Like, it's so awkward. It's literally like watching two strangers that have a child together. It's sad. Agree with you. I feel
so
sorry.
He has zero care of anything she has to say. And when he tried to say, like, you're not a good mom, he's like, I'm a solo parent. I was like, that's how I knew that he didn't give a fuck about her.
Yep.
Because I was like, that's below the belt. That's like a woman telling a man that he has a small penis. Like, that's very, very below the belt. She knows that she's not there. She feels horrible because she's voiced to you hundreds of times. She even went to your sister and said how she feels. And you go, the second she starts crying, and just kick her in the gut and be like, well, you could be a better mom. Like, that's what I know. I was like, you don't even care about her. Because if you actually cared, you would try to make her feel better about providing for you. And you would be a little more grateful. Right? If a woman is going out there and working herself damn near to death to take care of you and your son while you don't do nothing. And I don't want to say like he's not doing nothing. He is raising his son, which is noble, right? But you could at least be a little more supportive and sensitive to the feelings of her. Like, calling her a bad mom, knowing when that's how she feels, right? Yeah. Like, you don't kick somebody while they're down. Just like if you're wrestling or if you're in the UFC, when you keep hitting somebody and they fall down, they're going to stop you. You don't get to keep hitting the person while they're down. You have to let them build themselves back up first. And I was like, I don't even know what type of relationship this is. I just hope she loves herself enough to see that she can do better than this dude, right? She can do better than this dude. And I know she's kind of deep in. They got a kid together. Like, it's too late. But it's never too late. So I was like, the only liability that I saw in that van when they were on their way to France was him. I was like, you should be going to France, but his ass should be staying where he's at.
Yep, I agree. I totally agree. I think she's only moving for him, to be honest. I realize that that's her home country, that's her family, and that's, you know. But she's obviously happy in California.
She's a California girl. When I hear the Katy Perry California Girl song, it's Manon. She's living her best life. She's a model. She has a very successful publicist company. She's a California girl. The only reason why she's leaving is because his ass won't get a job and help her.
Yep.
That's the only reason why. And I was like, if the only problem you have is him, you don't need to go anywhere. You just need to get rid of him. Right? Absolutely. And sometimes that's what motivates somebody to change. If she would have kicked his ass out of the house, he probably would have got a job. And came back.
In the beginning, he said he didn't work because daycare is so expensive. I agree. Daycare is so expensive. But even if you go and work and spend 50%, 75% of your check on daycare, that's still 25% more than you have right now.
And that could be time that she could have had with her child. Right. Like, absolutely. There's always a compromise, and I always say there's always opposite ships, and it's not forever. Your child is eventually going to have to go to school.
Yeah.
So that's
when
time
your
that you don't...
child goes to school, and when your child grows up, and when your child moves out, then you guys really have nothing but animosity and resentment.
Yeah. Well, Shelly says, why do they have to move to France to make this happen? That's everybody's question on Twitter as well. They're like, why don't you move to Oklahoma? Like, you don't have to move to France because your problems are going to be on the plane with you. They're going to get in your luggage and they're going to come with you to France. If you don't like each other, you don't get along, and he doesn't support you, that's going to be the same thing. And that's what Sarah, his sister, was trying to say before Manon kicked her out of the house. Manon was like, you got to get out of my house. But she was speaking very truthfully. She was like,
yep.
You've never actually tried to resolve your issues. Your issues are you don't have enough money to survive. You're working too hard and you don't see eye to eye. You have to work on that before you get on a plane and go anywhere, because that's going to happen wherever you go.
But also, his family's close by. So you can't tell me that grandma and grandpa and auntie and uncle and everybody there wouldn't watch that baby so you could get off your ass and get a job.
Oh, yeah, they would. He don't want to. He don't want to. I could tell by the way he was talking. When he had his whole little spiel where he's like, I don't even care about money and finances are unimportant. I just want to live my life and be happy. And I was like, yeah, that's how lots of people end up homeless. That attitude. That's the attitude. Like, I like living my life and I like having a good time too, but I also don't like living under a bridge. So sometimes it's not about what you want and being happy and just getting your way. Oh, so I want to talk about cafes and running water. And this is fun because I know not only do you have experience in a cafe, you fully run a cafe from every aspect of it, from the financials to hiring. So I know this is going to be a fun subject for us to talk about. So
I am bursting at the seams watching.
We saw the space. So first of all, the space is smaller than my closet. And this is without the appliances. So my first question, Cara, was did they actually measure the space to make sure the appliances would fit before they put in the walls? Because that was my first question.
And Jenny literally said, it was so much bigger before any of this was in it. Well, yeah, everything's bigger without things.
Yeah, everything is a box, a space. Because you know what? I worked for a company where we went from zero stores actually to 500. In less than 2 years. And I remember every time we would get the space, it would just be a big box and it was massive. And then once we started putting walls and shelves, it got smaller and smaller and smaller. And that's how it works. And I was like, you have to go in there and measure to make sure. Cause I was like, now that they put the walls up, what if they can't get a stove in that little space?
Right.
Cause I was like, it doesn't seem
there's
like
so much. I mean, I don't know the building code in India, obviously, but just for the stove, you have to have certain ventilations and certain codes and certain permits. And I mean, there's so much just for that one appliance. And then when Jenny said, we're going to have a coffee maker, just like the ones in America, you know, it makes all the things like a cappuccino and stuff. Okay. Yeah. Well, that's called an espresso machine and it doesn't make the things. You make the things with the machine. So you have to have a little bit of education before you just slap a machine there and go, voila. I am now Starbucks.
That well, not the funniest work. Part is none of them have any idea how to run a cafe. Oh, and another
also,
thing that was...
how are they buying a cafe when they can't even afford rent to have their own home?
I don't know. Also, the cafe is next to four other cafes, Cara.
Yeah, and they're sampling all the food so they can compete. So you're just going to sell the same shit as everyone else?
That's like opening a gas station next door to a gas station. And don't get me wrong, it's happened. Back when I was in my teens, I used to run gas stations. And I remember I had a gas station that I ran, and there was a gas station across the street. We did okay, right? But my gas station had a Subway in it and a coffee shop in it. So we did better, right? Yeah. And, you know, so the people that have already been there and they're established, people know their food, they know the quality, and they know their service. So they're already... And they're advanced than you. They already have a clientele. So you coming in, selling and doing the exact same thing as the other four places, you're already at a disadvantage.
No education, no experience.
But how do you run? How do you run it without running water, Cara? That's where they lost me, because I've never. And you know, I've worked in food. I've done lots of different things. I even worked in a movie theater when I was like 15. Every place that I worked that sold food or had anything to do with food, they had running water. And how do you clean? So when you're done cooking, right at the end of the night, you need to clean all of your appliances, your grill, whatever you're using. If you're bringing in water, because that means the water's not hot. Because, you know, we clean with hot water. When we run the dishwasher, it's hot water. It's just so many questions for me, because I was like, how sanitary is it to run something with no water? And is it even possible? I mean,
okay, aside from that, if you're bringing in an espresso machine, do they realize that an espresso machine works on water?
It doesn't. Don't those machines go into the water line? I think they have their own.
Absolutely.
Just like a refrigerator. It has its independent water line.
You have to have water running or it won't work. You can't make it work without water. You just can't. And there's no way to just pour water in and hope for the best. It has a whole filtration system. There's so much to it that if you tried to turn on an espresso machine without water attached to it, you would burn it up within seconds.
I love Jenny, right? I do. But the fact that, but another issue, because I also put this out there on Twitter, because, you know, I have to be fair. The fact that Submit's family, they didn't want to show up. They didn't want to survey the space. They let Submit take the lead. And then they kind of came down hard on him. They're like, oh, we don't like this space. This isn't a good fit. I was like, well, you could have showed up. You had every opportunity to come and see what he was putting y'all's money into. You could have been there. So the brother's like, I'm quitting my job for this. I was like, you could have showed up. Just like y'all showed up today. You could have showed up.
If we've got, let's just dumb it down and say we only have three people working. Jenny, Submit, and the brother. Let's say that's it.
Okay.
Okay, let's say that they're even going to be generous and give him 50%, and Jenny and Submit are only going to each take 25%. They're not going to make shit, period.
Well, when I used to run restaurants, I think our profit was only 25%. It was 75% was labor, operating costs, and food costs. We only made a 25% profit, and that was on a good month.
Yeah.
Like, because, you know, I used to run a Pizza Hut. I ran a Red Lobster. 25% was the goal. Sometimes it was even lower than that, right? Because your labor cost is usually like 30, 35%. And then you got to cost of food, your utilities, all of that shit. So I don't know if, and it doesn't seem like a storyline to me. It definitely seems like that they're really doing this, which makes it even more worrisome. Because I was like, if y'all were faking this, at least nobody is going to get hurt. But I think they're really doing this. I think that they're putting all of their eggs in this cafe basket. First of all, they had me lost when they were like, oh, we're going to open a cafe next to four other cafes. I was like, don't do that. That's like me saying I'm going to open George's Coffee next to a Starbucks. Just bankrupt me now, because it's never going to work, right? Like, no one is going to buy my coffee if there's a Starbucks next door. Literally nobody, because Starbucks has already done the groundwork. And so these places in this mall have already done the groundwork. They've been there. They have a clientele. They have repeat customers. They have business. They have people that know what it tastes like.
They also have running water.
Well, do they? Because I was like, do the other places have running water? That was my huge question, because I was like, so wait, is it normal for you to open a place and you just bring bottled water with you every day? Is that a thing?
They would have to have running water, George. They would have to. You have to. I mean, if you're handling raw foods, raw meats, you have to wash your hands. You can't just be dumping out of a bottle of water. Plus, you have to have water to cook with. You have to have water to clean with. Like, everything in a restaurant revolves around water. So those other four places are probably very established and have running water.
Do you think that they could have running water? It just costs too much to run the line? Because that crossed my mind. Because I was like, if the other places are successful, you're right, they got running water. I think it costs a lot of money to run a water line through there. And it's out of their budget. But it's not really a budget thing. You just have to do it, right? Like, it's not really, just like when you buy a house, you have to buy insurance along with your loan. It's not an option. It's not whether or not you can afford it. That's just part of the process. You have to have that. And so spaghetti, I have to ask you a question. So when you're making spaghetti, do you just put like canned sauce in the noodles and call that spaghetti? Because where I'm from, I grew up in the South, spaghetti has a lot more ingredients than that.
Oh my gosh, does it ever. I can't even imagine just dumping canned sauce on anything.
And serving it to people and calling it food, right?
Nope.
I posted the I'm calling the police emoji, because I was like, I'm sorry, Jenny, but I'm calling the police and I'm filing a report. Because that's not spaghetti. And then the fact that she was like, I'm 67 years old and the only thing I know how to cook is spaghetti. And I was like, Jenny.
There's no way. She raised her whole kid. Like,
See, I learned how to cook eggs when I was like 7. So I know that she has to be able to cook something else. And I get that the Indian culture, there's certain stuff they don't eat, right? I think Gina was telling me, I think they don't eat cow because they think our cows are very, they worship cows.
Yeah.
They're,
yep.
So they won't eat that. So I get it. So I, because at first I was like, where's the meatballs? But I guess you can't put cow meat in it because that would be disrespectful to their culture. But you could put some pork beef in there or some pork meatballs in there. Like, for me, spaghetti has meatballs. Otherwise, it's Chef-Boyardee in a can.
Even if you don't put meat in it, even if you're vegan, you could put onions and mushrooms and all kinds of seasonings and peppers. And there's so much shit you can put in there to at least make it chunky. Like, that sounds horrific.
Wait, Shelly says, but they said they were going to sell hamburgers. I missed that. I didn't hear them say that.
I didn't either.
I don't think they can, because I know in India, they just let the cows roam the streets and stuff. Like, you can't touch them. They're very sacred. I highly doubt. Maybe they'll sell, you know, turkey burgers or something. Like, maybe they'll sell a version of burger. I don't think that they will, though. And I think that Sumit's family doesn't eat, like, meat specifically, if I'm not
mistaken. Yeah, I don't think so either.
So, yeah, I don't think they'll sell hamburgers. I mean, maybe there's a version of something, like chicken or veggie or something that they will sell. But, again, a cafe, that doesn't sound like something a cafe would sell anyway.
No.
I feel like, but I don't think they have a plan. Honestly, I think that they're winging it, and that's super scary because when it comes to food service and a food service business, that's something you don't wing because 90% of businesses that go under during the first year have something to do with food service.
Yeah.
Even a retail can last longer than food service because that you sink so much money into operating costs than you do with retail. Because with retail, you can sell something, but your markup is like 100, 150%. So you can get away with everything else.
Right. Jenny's 67 years old, uprooted her life, moves to India, retires, lives on her pension and her social security, gets her own place, is independent after she fought for this man who scammed her from the beginning. And now here we are, fast forward 10 years later to moving in with the parents, not having your own place, opening a restaurant. So now you have to work and you still have no money. Like, everything is wrong with this picture. Everything.
Yeah. Hey, Bestie. Hey, Kim. See, that's what I said, because I was like, it's time to head on back to California. She gave it a good college try. She, you know, like, she, Sumit said he didn't want to move, so she went over there. She's been over there, I think, 6 years. She's tried her damnedest to make it work. It's time for them to come back. Go ahead
it's
and get him
for
a...
her
a,
to contact Sumit and bring him to the U.S.
Yeah, she tried, right? Yeah. She tried much longer than other people did. I think Ariella was only there for a few months, and she was like, hail to the now, we're going back. And I think Shekinah was there even shorter. I think Shekinah was there for like 3 weeks and was like, yeah, we're not doing this. She's like, other than me getting plastic surgery, I'm not living here. So Jenny gave him 6 years. It's not working out. Go ahead and apply for that visa and tell him he got to come back to Cali. He's got to, it's time. It's time. I think that Jenny is wasting her best years struggling for no damn reason, right? There's no reason why she should be working 50 hours a week in a cafe. Because obviously, Cara, there is no air conditioner in there. Do you see it? You saw it, right?
Yeah.
There's no air conditioner.
No way in hell I'm moving in with anybody, especially in-laws, for whatever reason. But as soon as someone comes in and touches my alcohol and tells me no, nope.
Yeah, I draw the line, right? Like, I can't even get drunk. If I got to look in your face, I got to get drunk.
Yep.
Right? Like, you're not going to tell me I can't get drunk. If I have to deal with you, first, the mom was like, you got to cook and clean every day. And Jenny was like, well, I'm going to be working in the cafe every day. She's like, yeah, you got to cook and clean every day too. And I was like, so what's the mom going to be doing?
Nothing. Literally.
Right? Like, I was just like, and I hate to be like that, but it's like, so you just get to hang around like you.
Do you just have your kids live there? And
right. It must be nice.
And then you criticize them nonstop for everything.
I mean, I guess that's the life, right? You just sit around the house and tell everybody how stupid they are for not doing what they should be doing. I mean, I guess that's what the moms do over there. I guess. If you're an Indian mom, that's your earned reward or whatever. Oh, so we met Johnny tonight. Johnny is the Arubian. You call them Arubians? Well, he's from Aruba. And he's with Chloe, our resident ditzy girl, the girl who works for her mom, who actually we found out she was talking to another guy and cheating on Johnny. So apologies to Johnny, because I immediately called him a scumbag when I saw his package. Well, yeah, he was talking to other people, but that's kind of a given. He's a booze cruise pirate. So when you go over there and you find yourself a man whore and you want to wife up the man whore, you're going to, you know, that's like going and marrying an NBA player. You know, yeah. he's gonna cheat on you. You're going to get a Mercedes G-Wagon out of it, but he's definitely going
to. There is no way these people. No way. I'm putting it out there now. It is not happening.
So do you think, well, Shibuti already showed that she posted on her story and she's already back in the U.S. When the show premiered, she posted at a bar in Boston. So she's already back here. So she's already back. And actually, if y'all want to hear, cover your ears real quick. He did a radio interview in Aruba the day of the premiere, and he said how much she was an annoying, lying, cheating whore. So I'm going to go ahead and go out on a limb and say that it didn't work out. Okay, you can uncover your ears now. So, yeah, that's what the story is now. So don't get way invested in this storyline because it ain't going anywhere. Because the other way...
They lost me last episode, but this one, really done.
Well, yeah, it's a very typical, I'm going to throw my life away for some guy, kind of like Manon. Like, it's a very typical other way.
No, this is a very typical, how can I get on this TV show? I went on vacation once, met this guy. Hey, you guys want to make some money? Let's do it. That's what it is.
Yeah, you know what? Let's talk about Greta. Yes. Our resident cat lady, who's actually a lawyer, who met Matthew on vegan Tinder. So Kara, there's something called vegan Tinder. We learn something new every day. So apparently people that are vegans have their own Tinder and they go online and find other people that don't eat anything that was ever alive. So
I guess that's happening. There's something for everybody. There's like Christian Tinder, there's farmers only, there's, you know, I guess whatever you're into, there's a .com for that.
I mean, I guess it streamlines you to not have to waste so much time weeding through. Because think about it. Years back, you would have to go to a bar and hope to find somebody that was a vegan or hope to find somebody that was Filipino or whatever you were into.
Yeah.
You don't have to do that anymore. You can weed out all of the things that you don't want and then only puts the things you do want in front of you. So Greta the cat lady, I like her. She's really smart. She has a law degree. She passed the bar. I'm just worried that she's throwing everything away because when she moves, her law degree becomes irrelevant because, you know, law degrees, I think they only work when you pass the bar in the state where you pass the bar, right?
Yes.
So even if she was moving to another state, she would have to retake the bar because...
Right.
Yeah, so that's scary. So now she's moving all the way to London. It was London, right?
She is an attorney for animals, right?
Well, that's what she said. She said her goal was to be an attorney for animals. Does that have a name?
I don't know. My dogs have, none of my animals have actually ever asked me to hire them an attorney.
That's what I was thinking. I was like, I've never had an animal say, I need to call a lawyer. Or when I'm in the car and I'm driving, I never saw a billboard that says, are you a dog who was injured by a human? Call 1-800-A-HUMAN-8-ME. Or so. Like, I've never seen that happen. So
no.
I was confused, but I mean, I guess that's a very specific law section, which would make you think, oh, animal rights activists. I guess it is a thing. Thank you, Shelley. But
okay, well, there's a lot of animal rights activists, but still.
But wouldn't that limit how many cases? Well, how many cases do you think you would get? I think you would only work for PETA, right? PETA would probably be the only people that would call you.
Yeah.
And PETA usually is fighting an unwinnable battle. They usually pick a battle that is unwinnable. Like I heard recently they were fighting a movie because they slayed an animal in the movie. And they were like, oh, well, you shouldn't kill an animal because it's a movie. But the animal, they were portraying a scene in a country where they slay animals to eat them. And so they're usually fighting unwinnable battles because at the end of the day, when you go to the grocery store, you know how many animals were slayed just in that one grocery store alone.
Right.
This is not a battle that you're going to win. I agree that we shouldn't go out and just kill animals because we feel like it. But if you do kill an animal and people eat it, that is kind of like the circle of life, right? Like, I feel like that's a battle that you don't really need to fight and you're not really going to win. Wait, pet lawyers handle legal issues between partners. Oh, so like when two people break up, who gets the dog?
I'm sorry, but I'm never hiring an attorney that rehomes their own animal. You're going to come and fight for my animal, but you rehomed yours so you can move to another country with your law degree to be with a 27-year-old from England.
Oh, Cara, he lives with his mom and dad.
Right.
So she's moving in with his parents.
There ain't no way in hell I'm rehoming any of my animals, first and foremost. But well, if I'm
why can't
to
she
another
bring,
country,
why yeah. can't she bring the cat? I thought that you could bring your animals anywhere.
Well, you can, but she said his parents have a dog and a cat, and so bringing hers would be too much.
Hmm. So she's giving up her job, her cat, her hopes, dreams, and aspirations for a man who puts together model boats in his mom's house.
Yeah.
This is, you know, I like that we're going back to the roots of the show. This was what we used to see in the beginning. Remember the coal and acid? We used to see people just risking it all for no apparent reason whatsoever. And this is kind of the direction we're going. I do like this. I like watching people make awful decisions. Because it's not me. At the end of the day, I'm not ruining my life. They're ruining
theirs.
I
love drama as long as it's not mine.
Right. So, you know, I like her as like a person. I thought that she was funny and I thought that she was likable. But to risk it all for a dude that, I mean, she said he had a good job. We don't know what the good job is. You know, good job is a relative term. Some people think a good job is general manager of a Taco Bell. You know, so you really have to be more specific. But how good is the job if he lives with his parents? Not great, right? Like, not great. So I think she's going to end up, I don't want to say homeless. I think she'll probably come back home before that happens. But she's going to get over here and realize that love is not enough. Love is not everything.
Whoever she rehomes her cat to, hopefully she knows. So that she can get it back when she comes back.
Didn't she say the cat was like 14 years old?
Yeah, like, I can't even imagine.
I would be so attached to that cat. I would probably pick that cat over any other human.
I have a few cats that are in their mid to late teens, and I can't even imagine.
Well, yeah, if you had to pick between a human and the cat, then the human would be like, well, you know, I can still call you. Right? Yeah. Like, I can still call you good, but you gotta go because I'm
I feel like you still got a good 70, 80 years on you. My cat's probably another 5.
Right. So after that happens, you know, we can maybe reconnect. Otherwise, get the hell out of my house. Right? Yeah. Like, I'm not dealing with that.
But
okay, so Johnny is the one that says he doesn't trust her. The whole thing in the I'm going back to the Chloe thing. So he said that he doesn't trust her, but he keeps saying, I'm ready to settle down and I'm ready to have a family. And I'm like, why? Like, you're 32, you work on a booze cruise with women that try to sleep with you just because they're on vacation. And I know that that's empty and eventually you'll decide you don't love that, but why just give it up just because you met this one girl? You meet girls every day that
Look at Juan.
And I love them together, but I do think that there are times that Juan regrets his decision.
He said it. Like, I mean, he was going through all the depression and everything. Like, he's sad. He missed his life, but he wouldn't change it because he already has a kid. So that's already there. If you just want a kid because you just want a kid, borrow your friends. I'm sure you probably have nieces or nephews or cousins or something. Borrow one of those for a while.
I think that when somebody has the perfect Playboy lifestyle and they say they want to give it up, I just always raise my eyebrow because I was like, well, why? Because a lot of people strive for what you live on a daily basis. Like you said, one lived on that cruise ship. This guy lives on a booze cruise. Every day is a vacation. People pay good money to do what you do for work so they can build memories. They fly all the way over here to do it, and you get to do it every single day. Like, why would you want to give that up?
If you have a kid, you're going to resent the baby mama. You're going to resent her immediately. You're going to end up resenting the child. You're going to miss your old life. That's how deadbeat dads are created.
You remember Sherlon? He was with, I think, Amber. That's exactly what happened, but it didn't work. He got Amber pregnant, and Amber was like, oh, you should come to the U.S. and be a dad. And he was like, he was some sort of entertainer, remember?
Yeah, he's like, not a chance.
And he was like, you think I'm going to give up the lifestyle that I have? He was like, women throw themselves at me just because they're on vacation. Yeah. He was like, do you really think that I'm going to give that up and come over to the U.S. and get a job and be a baby daddy to you? He was like, most women that sleep with me, they go back home and I don't hear from them. He was like, you came back over here with a baby trying to tell me to come back with you. Right. Like, he was like, what is wrong with you? And she learned very quickly that some men aren't ready to settle down, and they're definitely not ready to throw that player card in. He wasn't ready. Now,
that poor kid's never going to really know his dad, ever.
Yeah, I know. That sucks. And that kid, if you've seen pictures, looks just...
Oh, my God. He's so cute.
I know. It sucks. It sucks. But, yeah, when you go and you try to take a guy out of that type of element... Oh, that kind of... Remember Luke and Madeline? So... We learned tonight that guy Brian from Love in Paradise, the one that told us that Madeline was having a topless party at her apartment, which, Carl, we weren't surprised because, you know, you and I both suspected, allegedly, that she was a woman of the night. Remember that? So we were like, oh, topless parties with random people? That sounds normal, right? That's legit. You know, I won't fight you on that. That probably happened. So we found out that Brian, the guy that told him about that, they're still friends, and he's against their marriage, right? And he's trying to be a good friend. I thought it was nice that he showed up to the bachelor party, because I was like, if your girlfriend broke me and my wife up, I probably am never going to talk to either one of you again. So that was pretty loyal of him to still be friends with him after that, because, you know, she destroyed his marriage.
Yeah.
Just because he told the truth. Do you think he was... What good would he get by lying, right?
Literally nothing.
He got zero out of the situation other than he wanted to tell him, hey, I don't think you should do this because I don't think she's just in it for you. And tonight she said that she was working as a traveling club promoter. What the hell is that, Cara? What's that? And I think that's another word for...
I literally have no words for her. I couldn't stand her on the first season, and this season, I really can't stand her. I was trying to find good. She's like, oh, I'm going to buy an apartment. It's going to be an investment. It's blah, blah, blah. Shut the hell up and pay for your damn wedding that you have to have.
She's claiming that her misspelled booty, B-A-E-U-T-Y salon is profitable.
Right.
Do you believe this? And it's the only profitable thing that her and Luke started, which I do believe that, because Luke was very
But do you remember on the last season, do you remember, I believe I sent you screenshots when I dug deep into her profile of her booty salon, when I dug deep, and she's advertising her nails that are literally pressed on nails.
Press on. Yeah, you told me. You told me. Because there's different types of nails.
Dollar Tree.
Well, that's what we talked about. Because I was like, because there's different types of nails. There's the nails where they go and they cut your cuticles down and they style and they clean and then they put a nail on top of it. And then there's the ones where they just stick a glue thing on and put a nail on. And I was like,
there's acrylics, there's gels, there's free forms. There's tons of professional nails that people pay $70 to $150 for, rightfully so. But if I can go to the Dollar Tree, buy the same shit for $1.25, glue that on myself, I'm not going to go see someone and let them glue it on for me.
Well, we have to remember, she said it's profitable, but profitable can, in technical terms, mean it made a dollar more than its operating expenses.
Well, I'm sure it's profitable because she didn't put any money into it. Luke did.
Well, yeah, it's 100% profitable to her because she didn't have any of the startup money. It was his.
Yes.
But the idea that, well, the funny part is somebody messaged somebody recently and said they drove by there and they said that it was all boarded up.
Yeah, I saw that.
So now I'm confused. But again, you have to remember these shows were filmed almost a year ago. So maybe when they were filming, it was open. But somebody told me it was all boarded up. The sign wasn't even there no more. So I need some eyes over in the area. Or maybe we can look on Yelp. You think Yelp
might know? I'm sure it's there.
Yeah, Yelp will tell you if something is permanently closed or not.
Yeah.
So yeah, we'll have to look into it. But she is trying to get married, and she's trying to come in on a helicopter because
that she wants him to pay for.
Well, yeah, she was. But I think what's really confusing is I don't think that she realizes how broke he is. He's been really forthcoming to his dad about.
Remember, like last year, they did some. God, what was it? It was some helicopter tour.
Yeah, the helicopter excursion trips.
Yeah, and it was like $100,000. So
yeah, and you could hang out with them.
Yeah, even if they got three people to do it.
But I don't think.
Okay.
I don't think anybody actually did that.
I
like
doubt.
Even if Darcy and Stacey tried it, like even the biggest name people from 90 Day, you wouldn't get somebody to pay $100,000. Like no, you would, because you know Jessica and Juan did some sort of trip, but I think it only cost like $2,000 or $3,000.
Right. I wouldn't pay 100 pennies to hang out with those two yahoos. Like,
whoa,
that would ruin my whole vacation.
That you know who would do that? Tiger Lily. She would try to charge people to hang out with her. Yeah. That is so long. And you know who else?
You're right.
Shekinah. She would do
absolutely.
And it's funny because I would never pay it. But I guess there's people, because there's people who are going to Star First comedy shows and they're paying to hang out with them.
I'd pay to see a comedy show.
I do want to go. Like I said, if it was in town, I would go just because I want to see if he's funny.
I wouldn't make a trip to see it, but if it was local, I would pay.
Yeah, if he was here, I'd go. You know, because I just want to see what, I don't want to say there's hype, but I just want to see if he's actually funny. Because when they had him on the show and he tried it, I didn't laugh. So I just want to see, because, you know, there's that alleged story that he was purchasing writers for his jokes. So I just want to go and see, you know, what's about. All right, so we're going to wrap. That was episode 2 of The Other Way. So
we have so much more to go.
I know. We're very, very early. We haven't even met all the people. There's a lot more to get into as the season goes on. But I'm thoroughly entertained.
I'm loving it so far.
I'm happy. I'm actually happy.
I wish Luke and Madeline were on there.
Honestly. Well, yeah, that's a waste of time. That's your bathroom break, your wine refill time. Yeah. I'm actually enjoying the scenes with Jenny and Submit. A lot of people are like, oh, I've seen
I love Jenny and Submit. I'm just confused by why they're on this, Happily Ever After is where they need to be. This is 90 Day Fiance, not 90 Day We're Already Married, have been married for a long time and have kids.
Yeah, the placement is wrong. I agree. I think they should be.
I would watch Jenny and Submit on all the other ones. Like anything that's not where we're waiting for someone to get a visa and be approved. That's the whole point of this.
Yeah, I agree. But so far, I'm okay with the new season. I'm really struggling to get through. I'm struggling still to get through Happily Ever After. It's really difficult. It's almost like someone's got me tied up and they're like pulling my eyelids back and forcing me to watch. It's hard, but this is good though. All right, thank you to Cara for joining me. We're gonna jump off here. We'll be back Sunday to talk more about Happily Ever After. But then we'll be back Monday and we'll talk about The Other Way, and then that Seeking Sister Wife show is back. That should be fun. I like watching that. That's like a train wreck. It's like a bad car accident every season.
I like that show.
We'll be back soon for that. Thank you for watching, and we'll talk to you guys soon.
Have a good night.
Goodbye. Bye.